Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's right around where we left off on Wednesday night. We encourage you to join us. As Mark said, we go verse by verse through the book of 1 Corinthians. You'll learn a lot more than in a college class. I have 1 Corinthians in a college class. We go way deeper than that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 this morning. And we're just going to start with this and we go in some other places. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church of Corinth, says, "Now I plead with you, brothers, sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Unity is a beautiful thing. And of course, in churches and in any kind of organization, there's always all kinds of stuff going on, gossip, slander, division, everything going on in a church or in any organization, really. That's just how it is. You need to know that. That's the truth. Your job is to fight against that and to do everything you can be to be united. As a lot of you know, and I really didn't get, the first time I really got to share in depth, a couple of weeks ago, on the 7th of October, Ann and I and some other, Mary was with us, and Susan was with us, and we were at Calvary Chapel, Delaware County, where they were actually the host to Behold Israel. Amir Tesfati was there, and they were going to be talking about things that are going on in Israel. But little did we know, early that morning in Israel, which is about 7 hours ahead of us, terror attacks were happening. Terror attacks that I can't even talk about. They were so bad. People sleeping in their house and terrorists coming in and killing people and taking some hostage, killing little children, killing babies. 40 babies at once in a basket over a fire. Horrible atrocities that were worse, some of them, than the Nazis did. And I'm going to talk about, first of all, what that have to do with our verse. Israel right now, always divided, is now politically unified. They've been divided because of all these things that you're about to hear. And I'm going to explain just one little thing this morning. I'm going to talk about Israel, Hamas, and the end. But I'm going to talk about mostly about Hamas and the history of it today, just real shortly, and we might have something next week. We'll see how the Lord leads. But really horrible things have happened. And first I want to share with you a couple common sense things. Go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 15. Now, already, just so you know, the Lord already, think it in your mind, already promised Abraham and his descendants, Abraham and his descendants through Yitzhak, Isaac, right, didn't he? And his son, Yaakov, Jacob. Abraham had already promised through, was promised by God, through his children would inhabit the land that was called Canaan, and is now today called Israel. In the 15th chapter, that's a couple chapters earlier, in the 15th chapter, we have this scene going on, and it's really kind of crazy because God here, this is where it talks about in Hebrews, God swears because he can swear by no greater name than him. Who's he going to swear by? So God swore to Abraham that that would be the case. And so this is the legal title deed, because this is a legal transaction happens here in this chapter. The legal title deed to that land, no matter what anyone has ever told you, and if you hold on for a second, this is just Israel, then we're going to get into more specifics, because some people, you know, just can't get it. And a lot of people say things that they don't know what they're talking about. Here in chapter 15, it says in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, he wasn't called Abraham yet, in a vision, and said, "Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I'm childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is an heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed, look, and he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted or credited to him as righteousness. You see that verse? That's our theme verse for salvation by faith right there. Abram believed God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said, "I am Yahweh who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees, Iraq, to give you this land and inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So he brought all these to him and cut them in two, right down the middle, and placed them opposite of each other. Now, you got to understand this. Covenant. To make a covenant back then, they didn't just sign contracts like we do. We just sign contracts. What they did is they would cut an animal in half. Look, like straight in half. Put the two sides here, and the two people would walk between them, saying, "If we ever break the covenant, may this be us. Cleaving in the midst, cut in half." And so that's what the Lord did. Skip down to verse 12. And while the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. At this time, it wasn't theirs. And you will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Again, told him in advance what's going to happen about Egypt. And also a nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers, that means die, in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here. Why? Because the iniquity of the Amorites has not yet come complete. The people that were living in Canaan, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, they weren't as horrible as they're going to get, sacrificing babies and all kinds of perversion. The Lord said it's going to get worse. The Lord doesn't, just like he does our country, he doesn't use time, the earth going around the sun. He uses the morality of the people on the planet. That's what he's saying here. The iniquity of the Amorites hasn't reached its peak. Verse 17, and it came to pass when the sun went down and was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, now look, pay attention, read this. Some of you might be able to understand it. I don't know. Some people can understand this, but maybe you can. To your descendants, I have given this land. From the river of Egypt, the Nile, to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. God gave them all that land. Can we put the map up here just for a second? Now, all that land is not just Israel today. Do you see little Israel up here? See that little Israel? But not that. From here, all the way over to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. God gave them all that land. Listen, and they never possessed all that land. How do you know that? They possess right now very little bit of that. Because if you have to understand history, which we're going to talk about in just one second really quickly. But I want you to see here very clearly, God gave, and that's only one passage. There's many passages that God gave the land to Israel. I don't care what you say, you could say, well, that doesn't mean anything today. Yes, it does. God gave it for how long? He said, forever. Do you want to have eternal life? How long do you want your eternal life to last? Oh, all right. Well, then don't say, oh, well, that only meant for the Davidic kingdom. Because there's people now. Some people near Israel say there was no such thing as the Davidic kingdom, which is kind of crazy because they keep finding stuff from it. So that's Genesis 15. Another passage I want to go to is Deuteronomy 32. And just for sake here, verses 8 and 9. When, I'll wait till you turn that. It says, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed borders of the people according to the number of sons of God. But the Lord's portion in his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. Talking about, again, the land of Israel. Now, there's many places, which we're not going to talk about that today. It's not even our subject. To the rightful claims of the land. I want to talk about something different because the eye is on Israel and all the world right now. And the Bible, actually, the Bible, besides being a letter of redemption from God, this book that you hold is a book about Israel from beginning to end. Israel, I don't care what you say. Israel. They were God's chosen people. Because of the hardness of their hearts, Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, we're engrafted in. We're engrafted in the vine because of them. But God chose them. Do you understand that? God chose Abraham, who lived in pagan Iraq, Ur of the Chaldees, worshiping false gods. He appeared to him and said, get thee out of that land and go to a place, come to a place I shall show you. God did that. Not some person, not some militant, but God said that. And he came. God came as a man. When he came to where? Did he come to New York City? I forgot. No. Oh, he came to Israel. He went to Jerusalem, where he was handed over by the religious leaders to the pagan Romans who forced their way in Israel at that time. Didn't he? And that happened? And he was killed. And he rose again, also in the city of Jerusalem. And guess what? When he comes back, he's not coming to London. He's not coming to Rome. He's coming where? He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, which overlooks Jerusalem. That's very clear in the scriptures. Again, if you say you're a Christian, you don't believe that, you're a hypocrite. I'll just tell you that, you know, if you're watching, that's just how it is. Because that is what the word of God's real clear. It's not even dull on that. That's where Jesus is coming, I'm sorry to say. Now, of course, if it was me, I would think it would be better to go to New York City or London or Paris, a big city, nice, you know, with all kinds of electric. But that's where he's coming to, Mount of Olives. That's what the Bible says. Again, Israel's invaded by Hamas, pure evil. And that's, by the way, you hear people saying, oh, that's Israel's 911. It's not as bad as 911, not as many people died. Well, proportionately, for the people who live in Israel, by proportionate population, it's 30 times worse than our 911. How would you like to have your grandmom, 94 years old, taken out in a wheelchair, made fun of, and then thrown off a cliff? How many of you like that? Well, that's what happened to these people. And everyone's wondering what's going to happen. Our church, by the way, Gateway Christian Church, stands unequivocally with Israel right now and there. But I also want to say there are Palestinians who stand with Israel. Israel has Arabs that live in Israel who are citizens, and they stand with Israel. Just like people in Germany stood against what was happening in World War II, we stand with them as well. So just as much. Anyway, I want to look at five quick questions this morning. I'll put them up on the screen. Put them right over there, I think. There we go. Number one is, who is Hamas? The second is, why is Hamas so intent on the destruction of the Jewish people? The third is, what is the history of the Palestinians in the land of Israel? And number four, why are so many Americans on and off college campuses supporting Hamas and Palestinians? Why? That's a big question I wonder about. And number five, how might any of this fit into the Bible prophecy? Anyway, do I have that in my notes too? No, I got a spot right here. Well, anyway, let's pray again, and we're going to look at this. And Lord, we do ask, Lord, that you give us a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of understanding that we might know you better, Lord, and that we would understand this, Father, the truth and not somebody's fabricated tales. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, number one. Let's go to the number one question. We've got a slide, separate slide for that. Who is Hamas? Who is Hamas? And here I have a very simple definition. See, it's real easy. Hamas is a terrorist organization made up of Sunni Muslims, not Shia, but Sunni. An acronym for, it's Hamas, again, in Arabic letters, an acronym for Islamic Resistance Movement. That's what, Islamic Resistance. And the word itself happens to be, and I think it's really interesting, the word Hamas in Arabic means zeal. So they were really, you know, smart in picking that word. It's also interesting, the word Hamas in Hebrew is, the word Hamas means violence, which is also, that's amazing. Zeal on one side, violence on the other. That's what we see. An appropriate definition. They have one mission that they stated themselves, to kill Jews and to wipe Israel off the map. That's always been, listen, we were alive when this happened. Most of you were alive when they made this. So that was always their mission to the PLO before them, not to live peaceably in two states, but to wipe them off the map. Just like I was here in Harvard University, I heard Harvard University students saying, you know, like Palestine free from the, how do they say it? From the river to the sea, from the Euphrates rivers to the Mediterranean. They wanted to wipe all Jews off the land. And I think that some of those students have no idea what they're saying. They're just repeating Hamas terrorist threats and defending what Hamas did on the 7th of October, which there was really no defense. I'm sorry. Their one mission, as I said, is to kill Jews. Now look at their two quotes here from their founding articles. Like this is, you can go look at this yourself. Israel will exist in their opening paragraph and continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it just as it obliterated others before. See, that's what it's about. They want to obliterate Israel, not live peaceably. That's what you have to understand. We spend, our country has spent billions and billions of dollars sending it to so-called Palestine. And they use the money not to help poor people, not to build houses, but to build tunnels and get weapons and kill Israelis. That's what they do. That's what you need to know. From Article 7, this is all the way, way later in the document, it says, and this is important, the day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight and kill the Jews. That they really believe that. And that's in their theology. You know, because even in their theology, they believe Jesus, Son of Mary, is coming back. They believe Jesus, Son of Mary, was never crucified. He was taken up into heaven, and he's waiting right now for the right time. He's going to come back, and he's going to kill all the Christians and all the Jews in the Holy Land. That's what they believe. That's their theology. And that can't happen if the Muslims are not killing the Jews. That's part of their doctrine. Now, they do horrible tactical things, which already has been happening in this war. Israel's going after Hamas. They're not going to stop. Every time, now this has happened before, and every time. You remember just a couple years ago when they were stabbing. They were stabbing Israelis, random. They would just walk up to some grandpa and stab him to death. And the Israelis wanted to do something, but all the United Nations, no, you can't harm the Palestinians, you know, and they would hide in there. And what they do is they shield themselves with women and children. Just for an example, just this week, and the where the Hamas central capital building was, they would get about to be bombed. So they got women and children in the building and told people there's women and children there. Israel doesn't bomb women and children. Israel sends out flyers, cell phone calls, person to person, saying, clear out of here because we're coming after Hamas. That's what they do. Now, in the past, other nations have stopped them because it's not fair. And it isn't. I mean, it isn't fair for innocent people to be killed. I believe that, but so does Benjamin Netanyahu. You don't want to kill innocent people. They don't want to do that. They want to make sure Hamas is gone. That's what they want to make sure. So they use Palestinians as shields, as they always have. Just like in the last war, if you remember, the last bombings, the bombings that happened 4 years ago. They would send bombs into northern Israel, bombs into southern Israel. And bombs into southern Israel were going exploding. And they were killing Israelis. So Israel sends a bomb back, one bomb, and it blows up a building. And they, oh, there's kids there, and they, a playground. Well, that was orchestrated and on purpose. But see, you'll watch, and if you watch like I do, the Israelis do something and all the world's looking. Hamas sends $50,000 Scud missiles into the mainland of Israel, and that's okay. But we send one or two back, and it's a horrible thing. They aren't allowing people to leave Gaza City because Gaza City is going to be destroyed. That's just what they do. At the end of that music festival on the 7th, Arabs were killed along with Muslims. You see, there's Arabs there. It's what I always try. There's Arab Christians and there's Arab Muslims. And they were killed at that festival along with the Jews because Hamas doesn't care. They really don't care. They blow themselves up for the glory of Allah, right? And it's an evil and demonic ideology. It really is. I'm going to go for a quick history timeline. I think I have that there. Do I have that? Yes. Just real fast. And we're going to go by years here. Is this mic not working? Check. I'm not getting any signal out of it. Nothing. Come on, buddy. There you go. Now it's on. Hello. Hello. All right. Well, number one. Hamas timeline, 1987. Hamas was founded in Gaza by Sheikh Hamed Yassin, offshoot of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, also another evil demonic organization. In 1988, the following year, they published the charter, which we quoted above, to kill Jews and establish an Islamic state in what is now Israel. And number three, in 1991, most of you were born in 1991. Some of you were born. Military wing established, teaching toddlers and up to kill Jews, which they still do today. Teaching toddlers, little boys, telling them, hey, so what's the capital? And they'll go around. What's the capital of the United States? Washington, D.C. What's the capital of France? Paris. What's the capital of Israel? There is no Israel. They call Jerusalem Quds, which is the Arabic word for holy. They don't acknowledge. You need to know that. In 1993, they began suicide bombings in Israel prior to the Oslo Accords, which were just in my, you might remember this. Some of you might. I'm looking at a couple of my daughters weren't born yet, but we remember when the Oslo Accords were about to be signed, bringing peace. We spent the United States of America. And Europe spent a lot of money. They wanted to really get this done. They were serious about it. And so, as they were being signed, they began sending people into Israel and on buses and subways. And they would blow themselves up. figured out back in 87 and 88. They couldn't. In fact, I knew that in 87. So in college, I knew that. So it was designated terrorist organization by the U.S. and dozens of other countries. They bombed Israel with rockets and suicide bombs, financed by Iran. So what's weird about Iran? Iran's not Sunni Muslim, but they're Shia Muslim. Total, they fight against you. They hate each other. But they're united. The deadly second Intifada, the uprising of Palestinians against Israel. 2005, Israel evacuated their troops and settlers from Gaza and built a security in Gaza. The following year, 2006, Hamas won a surprise victory in the Palestinian preliminary election. They seized full control of Gaza. Fed up. They did it by might. Of course, not by might. People moving through, loyal people, loyal to President Mohammed Abbas, I'm old and slow. I mean, you guys are all in the nuts. I'm kicking. So this is what happened. And then we go all the way to October 7th, when the Hamas terrorists had a great security fence around Gaza on a holiday. It was the greatest day of the feast, Feast Tabernacle. I've told you that. I gave it to you briefly, but that's how it is. That's really what it's like. And so when we look at this and you see this kind of stuff, that's what's going on. Palestinians have Hamas to blame. And there's protesters among the Palestinians. And guess what happens to them? They get put to death. Money that the United States self-sent for housing just 5 years ago, we found was used to make tunnels so that they can kill Jews. That's where some of the hostages are, in those same tunnels. Interesting. Number two, and we're going to go way faster. Number two, the second point, why is Hamas intent on destroying the Jewish people? That's a good question. Why? What's the reason? The real answer is, Where they came from. Abraham, after God told him what was going to happen, you heard the Lord. Abraham reacted in the flesh. His wife said, "Hey, we got a handmaid we got from Egypt. Why don't you go in her tent and have a baby with her, and that could be your descendant? Because I'm too old," Sarah said. Now Abraham already believed God, and his faith was reckoned to him as righteous. Wife said. He had a baby named Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. And then Lot's two kids, the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites, all enemies of Israel. Right? That's what happened. And that's why we have problems in the Middle East. There's jealousy. You know, all people hate Jews. I went to Israel. I remember saying, oh, don't worry, he's a Jew blank. I didn't know why. Oh, they have control, all the money, all this kind of stuff. That's been going on for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Because God blessed them. He blessed their bankers to be able to make money. So the Germans needed money for World War II. And so they took all those bankers and took all their money. That's what they do. Because Satan is intent on destroying the Jewish people. That's why Hamas is. Satan brings anti-Semitism. That's equal with Satanism. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, where the dragon is there and there was a woman having a child. That's symbolic. Satan attacking Israel, having Jesus born. That's what that is, symbolic. For Abraham and his descendants. Now, the populist answer for this question is that Israel and the Jewish people are occupying the land, quote, of Palestine. And they're colonizers, which is an absolute lie. They're not colonizers. It's always been there. It really has. And there wasn't millions of Arabs living there and the Jews came back in 1847. That's not true. It was always where they lived. Yes, Zionists returned. And when they started returning, the Arabs in their surrounding communities were upset. So they moved in too. Hey, we can get free land. And they did. And they did free land. And that land goes back and brings us to our next question. What is the history of Palestine and the land of Israel? Well, the Jews were not occupiers. And I have to just explain this real quickly. They're indigenous people to the land from 2,600 years before Muhammad. History proves through archaeology what happened. In 586 BC, Israel was living in the land from the Davidic kingdom. It was the biggest days of Solomon, it grew bigger, but then the land divided. You know that. And there was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was assimilated by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom was invaded by Babylon, besieged and surrounded on the 9th of Av in 586 BC. They took all the Jews and made them walk all the way to Iraq from Israel. They destroyed the temple and they razed the city. Leveled everything. It was gone. And that's what they did. They returned 70 years after that, remember, by the decree of Cyrus and also prophesied by the Lord in Jeremiah. They returned to the land of Israel 70 years later, and they came and they lived in the land. And they were having problems. Now, they only really reestablished Judah at that time, which is southern, where Jerusalem and its vicinities. But they just couldn't get it going for a while, and they were all bummed out because the buildings weren't as beautiful. And eventually they got remodeled and so forth. But then again in 70 AD, just like Jesus prophesied, the temple was destroyed again by the Romans. And most of the Jews were killed in the temple that lived in that land. Now it went back and forth. As you know, Masada happened. all kinds of things happen in between. Again, it's a complex history. But in 135 AD, the Emperor Hadrian, Roman Caesar, he hated you. He had such a demonic hated Jews. He went to the land himself and he renamed Israel Palestinia. That's the first time it was ever named. 135 AD, it's history. Palestinia, naming them after the land, after Israel's arch enemy, the Philistines. That's how you say it in Latin, Palestinia. The Philistines, who were a seafaring people that always had fights with David and Solomon's generals all throughout. There was no more Philistines at the time, but he decided to name the land that. And he named it Jerusalem Areopagitalia. And he built pagan temples in Jerusalem. And he built the big one for himself. And so he could be worshipped because he was an emperor. Well, that only lasted a short time. And people started moving back again. And they just had to. People had to live in Israel, even though he cleared it out. And then by 300 AD, to 313 AD, Constantine the Great became the emperor. He legalized Christianity. And Israel became a big deal because that's where Jesus grew up. So Jews went back and Christians lived there and everyone was getting along great. And there were battles back and forth. Many nations, I'm not going to go into, have run the land of Israel since then. They've always been, since the days of David and his son Solomon, they've always been run by other countries. The Ottoman Turks during World War I. Great Britain took it after that. They had the Balfour Declaration. They declared the Jewish land as a home for the Jews in 1917. The Hussein family really disagreed with that. Let's go back to the map just for a second. The Hussein family disagreed with that because if Israel had all kinds of land, all this here, the Hussein family disagreed. So they called this place Transjordan on the other side of the Jordan River. Our friend Winston Churchill just took a crayon and drew a line right down the Jordan River and he made two countries. So all this land in Israel is given to Jordan. All part of it. This little piece of land smaller than New Jersey is Israel. And then after that, and the Jews came back and more Arabs moved in. And that's where you get Palestinians. Why? Now, this is real simple, but some people can't understand it. And I know that because I'm slow, so I'll go real slow. This country used to be called Palestine. All from Hadrian, 135 AD. It was called Palestine. All the Jews lived there. The Jews were Palestinians on their driver's license. Palestine. They were Palestinians. And I always say this, the newspapers, like the Jewish Times used to call it the Palestinian Times. The Orchestra of Israel used to be called the Palestinian Symphony Orchestra because that's the name of the country. But in 1948, May 14th to be exact, 1948, the name of Palestine changed to Israel. So really, with all logic and telling you honest truth, Palestine changed its name. So there was no more Palestine. But all of a sudden, you got people that live there saying that they're Palestinians going way back to the Philistines. Well, the Philistines were wiped out completely in the days of King Asa of Judah. So there's no Palestine anymore. Arabs started saying, that's where you get the problem today. Logically, it's not real. It's make-believe. It's make-believe, but some people go for make-believe, I guess. They just do. And that's, this again, the Jews are not colonialists. They're the indigenous people of the land. That's just how it is. And again, you can research, read real history, and you'll see the same. Now, I know that there's college professors and weirdos out there different thing. They don't go with real history. They don't see a lot of things the way that God sees them. They see a lot of things the way I see them. Number four, why are so many Americans on and off the college campus supporting Hamas and Palestinian causes this week? Again, I'm getting mad yelling at the campus. I am, I'm really. This generation of youth adults is really concerned about humanitarian issues. They are, and that's a good thing. And we should commend them for that. That's a good thing. We should all be. Christians should be concerned about them. You know, they want to end sex trafficking. Yes, so do we. We're together in that. Environmental issues. Yes, we need to take care of the environment and keep the planet safe for the next generation. And they should be commended. But the thing is, when you're part of a cause, you need to know why you're a part of that cause. You need to know the real issues. And this is one that they do not know. I just dropped my daughter off in Philadelphia on Friday. You know, I picked her up. And going by City Hall and seeing the protesters, you know, I could tell those kids had no idea what they were protesting. They couldn't have a clue whatsoever. Justifying Hamas, saying that they're terrorists. Not that those terrorists should be heroes and martyrs. And that kind of concerns me. It does, honestly. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't. You know, sometimes people are ready to jump on the bandwagon. They have no idea why. And they look silly when they do that, when they don't know why. And again, I have compassion. I have friends who are out. I love the people of the Middle East. I love the people of Jordan. I love people in Israel. I met Palestinians. I have a friend, a good friend of ours, one of our missionaries. Barry Cordova is married to a Palestinian Christian. So this isn't something that's weird to me. It's something that I already know about and I'm friends with. We have people in our Congress putting Palestinian flags this week in the hallway instead of, you know, lamenting and repenting. And people jumping on the bandwagon. Don't even just take what I say. Look all this stuff up. I do research, and I'm not balancing it from my side. I'm just saying what it says. But I say learn. Don't go by the false narrative. Because a lot of people do. You know, back to the map of Israel. And again, this is map coming back to the land. When you look at all these states around poor little Israel, you know, there's 22 Arab states around Israel. 22. And Israel's the smallest by far. And when you count all of North Africa and everywhere else, and all over the globe, there's 52 Muslim states against one Israeli state. Who's the bully? Really, who's the bully? 52-1. And there have been wars. And I don't defend everything done by either side. I don't. I really don't defend it. War is messy. And the way they went about trying to repossess the land and the way very few Arab families lost their property is a shame. But they were deceived by their government, their people, their leaders, the PLO. They shouldn't have listened to them. They were told in 1948, if you leave land with us, we're going to come kill all the Jews. They came back and they lost the battle. They lost the war. Israel, weak, wasn't even a nation, really. They knew what they were doing. They just came there, a lot of them from the Holocaust. But they just knew one thing that they say, you hear all the time, never again, never again. That's why they're so upset about this. They had all the security around Israel, and it happened. And they say, never again, never again. So I don't defend Israel for everything they do. I really don't. We all have guilty conscience about things that we've done wrong, and I'm sure they do. But those who don't go to Jesus term what is called moralistic therapeutic deism. And that's what happens to a lot of our people. Moralistic therapeutic deism. And that's, they get confused. Because see, they don't have Jesus. They don't understand what's right and wrong. Because they live in a world, the world they live in, they can't even tell the difference between a boy and a girl. They can't. They can't count chromosomes. There's only two sets of chromosomes. But they just can't do it. And that's a fact. And they want to live a fantasy of mentally ill people. And that's a shame. But when you're looking at stuff, and that's what that is. That's what I just said. Fancy word. Humanitarian causes without God. Moralistic, morals, therapeutic deism. They make themselves God. And that's what you see going on the streets. People are their own God. Jumping on the bandwagon. My answer is get a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he'll change it. Number five and finally, and we'll be done, is how might any of this fit into Bible, that's what it says on the screen, Bible prophecy. How does this fit in the end times? Well, again, we come back to Ezekiel 38. Let's turn to Ezekiel 38 real quick. Now I'm going to say, is this Ezekiel 38 now? I'm going to say right off, absolutely not. Because this invasion came through the south. It came through the south. That invasion comes through the north. And in Ezekiel chapter 38, which is yet to be happened, yet to go on, as soon as this starts and begins, I will not be here. Neither will you if you're really a believer. But for those of you who are going to be left behind, you might want to know this. It says in chapter 38, now the word of the Lord came unto me, Jesus said, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. When God talks to nations, he talks to their original founders. It's like he talks to Jacob. He talks the names of the founders of the country. It says, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and I'll turn you around and put hooks in your jaw and will lead you out with all your army. So God, this back to the map for a second. This is what's crazy about this. God, the Lord God of heaven, is going to bring them against Israel from the land of the north. They're going to bring them against. So the people of all these lands, there's Tubal there, and Moscow, along with, if you look at your Bible, now I got the map here with calling Ethiopia and Sudan Kush, because that's the ancient name. They're going to join Persia in their original name, Iran. Iran, when I was a young man, 1978, I know a lot of you know this, I used to work in the gambling casino. We got casino gambling, Memorial Day, 1978, and I was a we used to have junket planes from Iran then. And it was weird because there were these partying young guys, partying women. Nothing like the Iran we know today. And they used to come and gamble and do all kinds of things nobody should be doing. Same reason you shouldn't be there. That's what they used to do. In 1 year later, 1979, Ayatollah, Khomeini came into Iran, Persia, and bought them back by force to Islam. Now, it was always an Islamic state, but they didn't live like an Islamic state. And there used to be people going from the United States. People from here went and partied on the beach of Iran. Beautiful place. now you're not allowed to go there, and you're not allowed to bare your leg. It just doesn't happen. Women aren't allowed. You know, remember the girl that got killed 2 years ago for having her head covering off or put on wrong? They beat her to death. That's the kind of people that are there now. Nice people. Persia, they're coming against Israel. And you got Cush, Persia. You got Put, which is Libya, now Syria. All these parts of northern Africa, plus those from the north, coming down on middle Israel. God is going to bring them. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what God makes clear. I will put up in their jaw. But Israel will defeat them by the hand of the Lord. But see, that's God going to do that. The Lord God, if you have a disagreement with that, you can take it up with him. That's what's going to happen. And listen, after that, there's going to be a person who probably was involved in that that's going to take credit for it. And he's going to become the worldwide ruler. You know him as the Antichrist or the Beast. And he's going to change things in the world. So you don't want to be here for that. And I'm really worried if anybody here does not know the Lord. Not going to be a fun time to be here. Because the first 3.5 years is going to be great. The second 3.5 years is going to be a nightmare. But that's really what's going to happen. That's how it is. This confederation will advance from the north to attack Israel. And this is not that. Because this came in. This attack came in here. In the south. That's not the north. Real easy to see. Yes, Russia knew about it. Yes, Iran knew about it. They probably funded it. But this is not that. When that happens, God's going to bring you. It's going to be a big deal. If you're still here when that happens, you need to repent and turn to God. That's all I got to say. But like I said, I won't be here. So you can remember I said that. If you're here today. And we're going to see this Gog. All God says happened in this chapter, which I don't really want to get into. You know, by the way, you're worried about Meshach, Tubal, Moscow, and Tobolsky. Ancient historians like Tacitus, Pliny, and Josephus all say that Magog is the land of the ancient Scythians. Russia on the map. By the way, Russia and Ukraine. My wife's grandmother showed me with no doubt that Rosh was their, that's the symbol, that's their symbol for Ukraine, was the founder of their land. And they went by Rosh, and Russia stole it from them. So that's very interesting. So Magog is the land in ancient Scythians, just north of the Caspian Sea, and on the Black Sea. And I don't have my map. Go check that out. That's the land of Magog, Russia. And God is going to send them. Five nations join them, that confederation. There's Persia. Persia, again, until 1935, it was Persia. Now, there's people, I don't know if there's anyone here who was born. Anyone here alive in 1935? I'm trying to admit we just missed that. But there are people on the earth that were alive. Iran. And, you know, they used to sell oil to Israel. They were friends. They were great. But now, Iran finances Hamas and they finance Hezbollah, which is in a different country, in Lebanon, which is right on the border. Lebanon. All against Israel. And Israel's going to win. I don't believe that, you're thinking. Well, you don't have to believe it. God said it. I do believe it because God said it. Now, what about the U.S.? Of course, the U.S. could pull out of this involvement in this as they like to do. But maybe they won't. Maybe they'll push back. I don't know what will happen. All I know is Bible prophecy. So something to think about. What happens between Ezekiel 37 and 38? The rapture of the church. So we need to be ready. And that's it. We have to just be ready. So I want you to be thinking about that. You know, of course, I hate to give history lessons here, but I had to do it because so many people are deceived. Do you want to be deceived? And again, you can go read. I encourage you to read the other sides, but look at their sources. I encourage you. I really do. Seek the truth. Don't listen to what I say. Seek the truth yourself. God gave you a brain. You have the internet. You can find anything nowadays for free. You just have to. When I was young, we used to have to use books. Some of you guys don't remember that. We had to get an encyclopedia of Persia and read the whole thing about Persia to find out the history of Persia. Now you just go to the internet. But there's a lot of bad sources, too. You just got to check your sources. Anyhow, with that, in light of this, prophecy, I want to ask the guys to pass out the bread and cup. We're going to take communion. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We ask you to bless us.